And welcome to this week's edition of An Organic Conversation, a show about food, ecology, stories from the land, nature, sustainability, interconnectedness, relationships, and life itself. We're your hosts, Helge Hellberg.
And Mark Mulcahy.
And Sitarani Palomar.
And we're looking at the world of sound and music today. It's a vast world. It's a beautiful world. From cows listening to classical music to how music may help in the transition between life and death. The healing power of music, something in the way we're moved. Today on An Organic Conversation.
I'm so excited to hear the songs that we chose for a show about songs and music. We were all asking each other what specific songs might have impacted you in your life. Those would be so great to use in this episode. So I'm really excited to hear what you guys chose.
Yeah. And you know, I'm in a band. I get to play with in the band with Cynthia Carr and the Cartoons and sing with them. And I can tell you that I can see how people are moved just each time we're up there singing and how each one of us are moved when we're in that zone of just being together. Both you and Helge have, you know, have been in bands too.
Yes.
So you know that when you're just in that zone and you can actually, it's almost an out of body experience when you're just right there at that moment.
So we're going to hear you sing later?
Maybe all three of us.
Oh no.
Stay tuned. This will be a great show. Yes.
Oh, and how about you, Helge?
Well, you bring up the good point of listening to music and being moved by music is one thing. Making your own and becoming a channel for that is a whole different experience, but you know, equally beautiful. But it was fun to look back into our youth and to pick the song that really changed our lives, and we'll talk more about that in a minute.
Yeah, but first, the green headlines with Jen Lloyd.
Thank you, Mark. Artist creates new record player for trees. Artist Bartholomew Traubeck has created a brand new type of record player, one that plays not vinyl records, but trees. The player functions by replacing the needle with a camera that registers the differences in color and texture that form a tree's age ring and feeds that data to a program that outputs it as piano music. The project has been hailed as brilliant and inspiring and opens up a multitude of possibilities for reading the musical output of objects that we use in our everyday lives. California introduces new protection for endangered frogs. The California Fish and Game Commission voted unanimously to add two species of high-altitude frogs to the state's endangered species list earlier this month. The species, both are varieties of yellow-legged frogs found in the Sierras, have seen their populations decline up to 75% in the past few decades due to habitat destruction and the introduction of non-native trout to their ecosystem. The new listing makes it illegal to kill, harm, or capture the frogs, and the department has further recommended that no new trout be stocked in the frogs' habitats without prior evaluation. Obama Mercury ruling protects babies from learning disabilities. President Obama took a firm stand against the relaxation of mercury regulation in the coal industry this month as the EPA introduced a new rule that requires coal plants to install the best possible technology to control mercury emissions. While the industry lobbyists decried the ruling, saying that controlling emissions is too expensive, the legislation will protect an estimated 300,000 children from learning disabilities caused by exposure to the toxin, in addition to preventing up to 11,000 premature deaths and saving the country up to $90 billion in medical costs and lost work days. And those are the green headlines. Back to you, Helge.
Thank you, Jen. Jen Lloyd, for that weekly update of the news in the world of green and sustainable living. You're listening to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helge Hellberg.
I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm Sitarani Palomar.
And we'll take a quick break, but stay tuned for our first interview about the healing power of music, only here on An Organic Conversation. That and more when we come back right after the break.
One day we'll brave enough
And we are back here to an organic conversation. I'm Helge Hellberg.
I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm Sita Rani Palomar.
Today's topic is the healing power of music. Do you remember that first tune, that first song that you played over and over and over again? Because you loved it so much, because it hit the right spot. It encapsulated all of your emotions, a perfect expression of what you were feeling in that moment in your life. Emotionally, you and the song in that moment were one. What's happening when we feel that deep, perfect connection to music or a song? How is it possible that music inspires us to get up and dance or to make us cry? It connects people, cultures, and countries, and our minds and hearts, and it is beyond humans, as many dairies across the country play classical music in their barns to calm the animals and increase milk production. There's something in the way we're moved, the healing power of music, today on An Organic Conversation. And with us now is Alex Doman, author Alex Doman, who wrote Healing at the Speed of Sound, How What We Hear Transforms Our Brains and Our Lives, and also the author of The Mozart Effect, calling in from Ogden. Alex, are you with us?
Good day, everyone.
Thank you for joining
Hi,
us today.
Alex.
Great to have you. And we talk on this show, it's about ecology, and ecology is the study of relationships. And so even though it is a show primarily about food, it is really underlyingly a show about relationships and our relationship to music, to sound, to vibration. It has almost the same, or it is the same story as food, the vibration of food, the way it's grown, the way it's composed. You have been working in this field for many, many, many years. Tell us about your recent book and also what is the Mozart effect?
I want to share two things to begin. I co-authored Healing at the Speed of Sound with Don Campbell, who was actually the author of the Mozart Effect. So I just wanted to make sure we had that clarity about
correction.
About my dear friend's
yes.
work.
Yes.
And, you know, this relationship that we have, you know, with music starts at a very deep level with our inner connection with sound. And I love the analogy with food, because ultimately everything's a vibratory experience within us, whatever it is going within our body. And this connection to sound is very deep. You know, sound is the first sense, the auditory system, to develop in the womb. You know, the hearing organ, the cochlea, is the first organ to fully develop and actually be working. So our first sensory experiences as human beings are primarily our experience with sound. Mm. So sound shapes our brain, shapes very much who we are, so we have a very deep, intimate relationship with sound. And then naturally music, the organized form of sound that we all connect with on such a deep emotional level. And when
when you're saying, if those are the first organs that are that the first sense that's created in the womb, then that would lead into the second part of Helga's question, which is the Mozart effect, right?
Well, naturally, you know, this concept became very popular of the Mozart effect in the 90s, and it has been, you know, widely criticized on many levels, and I think
I thought you would say accepted, but yes.
Well,
commented on, yes.
Can you tell us just briefly what it is for listeners who might not be familiar with the Mozart effect?
Well, that's the first statement, is that the Mozart effect means a lot of things to different people.
Mm-hmm.
So at one level, we can say there's not a Mozart effect, there is a music effect.
Mm-hmm.
Music affects us in very deep and profound ways, and these effects can be measured through psychophysiological measures, you know, effects on the body, effects on the mind that can be measured and tested and analyzed and confirmed. Music has an effect. In the late 90s, there was research done by Drs. Gordon Shaw and Fran Rauscher at the University of California, Irvine, in which a study was done on college students showing that listening to a certain piece of Mozart affected spatial-temporal reasoning within the brain of these students for a short period of time. That grew to become a very popular concept in the media, and the statements were made that Mozart makes you smarter. And those statements at the time weren't verifiable and weren't necessarily accurate. But what we do know is that Mozart has effects on many levels that are measurable, as do all kinds of music.
And so and then they've also done studies where they've actually played music in the womb in the womb, right, for babies
unborn.
Well, neuroscientists have done quite a bit of research to look at what the fetal response is to sound and to music. And, you know, we know by around the end of the second trimester that auditory system is fully developed, and the unborn child will respond to the sound in their environment. They will most, after they're born, readily recognize not only their mother's voice and father's voice if dad is in the picture, but will actually respond to television commercials and theme songs of television shows that the parents watched, that the mother watched during the pregnancy.
Really?
So there's not only a connection to the sound of the womb, but what's happening in the environment. So
wow.
These sounds are picked up, they are processed, and that first form of learning that we have is learning about the sound in the external world.
What an incredibly strong sense.
It's profound.
Yeah.
It's absolutely profound.
So tell us about the book, Healing at the Speed of Sound.
Well, Healing at the Speed of Sound has been a project that Don Campbell and I have worked on for many, many years. And the project started, we were both presenting at a symposium called the Mozart and Science Congress, which takes place every 2 years in either Austria or Vienna, or Austria or Germany. And this particular year in 2006, we were in Baden, Austria, just outside Vienna, speaking at this particular conference, which is really a gathering of the leading experts on music brain research from around the world. And we met for the first time, even though Don lives in Boulder and I live in Ogden, Utah. We're just separated by the Rockies and knew each other's work. We had to travel to Europe to meet for the first time. And we really connected on the subject of how important it was to get the message out that, you know, we're beyond the anecdotal. We're beyond just our personal accounts and these ideas that music affects us in many ways, and we have the neuroscience research. We have research in many areas confirming the profound impact sound has in our life from birth through our later years. So we started the conversation, and the fact that Don's book, The Mozart Effect, which was published in 1997, which really brought to the public the attention that music is more than entertainment, it's more than enjoyment. It can affect our children's education, it can affect our stress levels, it can affect us on a deep emotional level. And now we have the science to really back up these early ideas. So we wanted to report on this through Healing at the Speed of Sound. So we brought together a group of researchers to help us do current literature reviews. We gathered over 10,000 references to write the book and decided what would be most important for this. And we really had a vision to take advantage of new technology and actually conceived this as what was an enhanced electronic book in addition to a printed book, because there was far more information than we could put in 250 pages.
You're listening to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helge Helberg.
I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm Sitarani Palmer.
And we are talking with Alex Doman, the co-author of Healing at the Speed of Sound, How What We Hear Transforms Our Brains and Our Lives, joining us from Ogden, Utah today, a book that he co-wrote with Don Campbell, the author of The Mozart Effect. Alex, you were just describing the book, the research that has gone into the book, that we are beyond anecdotal evidence that music directly affects us. What were your findings?
Well, our findings were that in many scientific disciplines, that a deep amount of good, well-controlled research has been done, ranging from research on the effects of specifically created music as an alternative treatment for depression rather than, a more organic treatment for depression than would pharmaceutical intervention be. The effects of music rehabilitation with stroke patients, the effect of music on early child development, children with autism, and you know, even some of our own work in working with soldiers with post-traumatic stress disorder and traumatic brain injury. And we really wanted to share this wealth of information with the world, so we set on writing the book and created a book that is very much a multi-sensory experience, in which beyond the printed words on the page, the book has links to videos with great presentations and powerful experiences with music, lectures from the Library of Congress, and research articles as well. So we have these eyeballs and these ear icons and these eye icons that take you to multimedia information beyond the pages within the book, so that you can delve and go deeper into all of these topics, ranging from how do we start our day with sound to how do we end our day with sound, what's our experience of sound in utero through the end of life.
I love that. So the book is also an auditory experience, as it should be, given the topic.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's all about the sound.
I'm actually kind of curious. Do you guys have an audio recording of the book, like if somebody wanted to listen to the book on CD while they were driving?
This book is available in all formats. So there is two formats of the audio book, either on CD or on an MP3 CD that can be imported into iTunes, so that you can listen to it with a great reader by the name of Jim Bond. So that's available on audible.com. And then there are electronic books, a standard electronic book as well as an enhanced electronic book, you know, for the iPad, for the Kindle Fire, and for the Nook Color. So you can really experience this book visually, auditorily, and from a multi-sensory perspective.
And that's healingatthespeedofsound.com, all one word, healingatthespeedofsound.com.
So, Alex, what is? Can you tell us what's physically going on when we as humans listen to music? How do sound waves affect our brains? And
well, in a very short journey, you know, the vibrations from our external world reach our ears and reach our bodies, and then move into the hearing system through the three portions of the ear: the outer ear, which collects the vibration; the middle ear, which then converts that mechanical energy into the inner ear, which then takes that sound and converts it into electrochemical messages that go through the brain. Starts from the brain stem and goes up through the cortex, where we consciously recognize the sound. And at all of these points in between, the music is affecting us on many levels. It's affecting the limbic system and the emotional system and our auditory processing and our language processing and our motor function. So it's touching the brain on multiple levels. And it's interesting to think that what one form of sensory experience is teaching neuroscientists most about the brain is music, because music touches us on so many levels.
And that is true, of course, not just for music, but if we said in the beginning, for all sounds, babies experiencing the commercial on the TV as much as a classical piece by Mozart, which really makes us take a more sincere look at the environment we keep. We say it at the show all the time that we manifest in the presence of the other, whatever that may be, food, people, conversations. The healing aspect of beautiful music is one, the sound we are exposed to that is maybe unwanted for the child will still be absorbed, right? You were saying that.
You bring up something so important, and that is the fact that sound, good or bad, is pervasive. And
yes.
It is a force that is with us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. We don't have earlids. Sound is always coming into us awake or asleep. And the sounds that can nurture us and help us develop and have a rich experience in life, when played too loud, too long, turn into noise and actually become something that can cause physical and emotional and psychological harm if we're overexposed to noise in our world. And we are living in an increasingly noisy planet. And it's something that we really have to pay attention to, not only for ourselves, but most definitely for our kids, especially in the early years of development.
Yes. Well, again, the Healing at the Speed of Sound is the website, just www.healingatthespeedofsound.com. A fantastic book with us, Alex Doman, the co-author, together with Don Campbell, who also wrote The Mozart Effect, just to clarify that again. Wonderful work to bring that kind of nourishment and environment back into the forefront of the conversation. And we're really glad that you were able to join us today, Alex. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. It was
absolute pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks, Alex.
Wow. Yes. Well, for all of us, music here in the studio, us three hosts, music has been part of our lives. I had a rock a cappella band. Sita, you were in a college a cappella band. Mm-hmm. Mark is singing in a band right now. I know personally the importance of music. For me, I didn't actually go as far as understanding that babies would hear the commercial in the womb. That is news to me.
That's why those kids run up to and grab you by the leg now, because their mothers were pregnant when you were playing music.
Yes,
Helga, I remember that voice.
They recognize my voice. That's right.
That is actually really interesting because Helga, your voice is so distinctive, and we have been places before where people come up and say, "Oh my God, I recognize your voice. You're the host on An Organic Conversation." No, it's true. Actually,
yes.
It's fascinating the way people relate memories with sound, and I think that that's actually an interesting segue, because I would love to talk about the first song that we played at break.
Conviction of the Heart.
Conviction of the Heart.
Yes. Who decided that song?
Kenny Loggins.
Yeah.
Sita did.
No, actually, it was a team effort, really. Helga and I both listened to that Leap of Faith album by Kenny Loggins, probably 10 years apart and 10,000 miles apart, and it had such a profound effect on us. And as we were looking at songs we might play during this show, he played Conviction of the Heart, and I was like, wow, I haven't heard this song in a decade, and I don't know anybody else who has the same emotional connection to the song the way that I do. And I'm sure that there are thousands of you listeners who had that connection to that song and to many other songs. The relationship that we develop as people to music is so personal and profound, and maybe it defines your self-esteem, or maybe it helps you work through a difficult time, or maybe, I don't know, it's so much more than just auditory. It's really emotional.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for me it became really significant being on my self-development path, and I had just finished a week-long retreat where several answers came through, and that the biggest answer, or the biggest commitment I made after that was not to give up my dreams, and that's what the song's all about, right? Mm-hmm. When did we drop your dream? When did you drop your dream? Basically, that we need to hold on to that. So, yes, beautiful song. We'll dive more into the world of music as it relates also to the transition between life and death. You're listening to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helga Hellberg.
I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm Sitarani Palomar.
The healing power of music, something in the way we are moved. Today's topic on this show. And we have more to come, but we'll take a quick break. Stay tuned for more.
My name is Earl Herrick, and I am the owner of Earl's Organic Produce, a San Francisco Bay Area distributor fully committed to organic produce. From the time one could find organic fruits and vegetables only in natural food stores to now, when schools and fine restaurants feature organic, we have been forging relationships with growers for over 20 years. If you want to offer the finest organic produce to your employees or customers, find us at earlsorganic.com. That's earlsorganic.com.
Fry Vineyards is America's first organic winery, family-owned and operated since 1980. Dedicated to the highest levels of organic and biodynamic farming, Fry never adds synthetic sulfites or other preservatives to their wines. Fry organic and biodynamic wines include delicious Cabernet Sauvignon, Zinfandel, Syrah, Chardonnay, and Sauvignon Blanc. Fry Vineyards Mendocino County award-winning wines without added sulfites. Available at grocery stores and online at frywine.com. That's FREYWINE.com.
Hi, I'm Paul Piscopo, executive chef at the new signature restaurant, the W San Francisco. Trace. It's our farm-to-urban table concept, which means all of our ingredients are locally sourced, sustainable, and traceable back to their natural origins, ensuring a dedication to socially responsible cuisine. We look forward to seeing you soon at Trace. For reservations, visit trace-sf.com. That's trace-sf.com. Or call 415-817-7836.
Bowman College has been offering professional training in nutrition and the culinary arts since 1989. Natural chefs will learn to master a healthful approach to classic culinary techniques, while nutrition consultants become experts in client consultation and the promotion of individualized plans for optimal health. Bowman College, a leader in the field of holistic nutrition and culinary arts. To find out more, visit bowmancollege.org. That's B-A-U-M-A-N college.org.
And we are back here to an organic conversation. I'm Helge Hellberg.
I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm Sita Rani Palomar.
Today's topic is the healing power of music. We all remember that first tune that really hit the spot emotionally. Us and the song became one. What is happening when we feel that deeply? That perfect connection to music or a song. We'll dive more into that with our next guest, especially in the transition between life and death, how music can be helpful and soothing. We just heard before the spot break, Ave Maria. Wonderful classical song, Cecilia Bartoli, Mark, that we are using in our seminars.
We're doing a seminar called The Language of Flavor, and we use that, and Helga leads this part where he actually plays that song for people before they even start a taste, the tasting part of the seminar. Why don't you just tell us a little bit about
that? And
it's
interesting because in Hispanic cultures, the song is often played at funerals, which I was not aware of, and that was shared by one of our seminar guests. But yes, The Language of Flavor is a seminar that we offer where we change your relationship to food and flavor. And in this case, it's a kind of guided food meditation over several minutes, either with closed eyes or even blindfolded, to really expose people to the flavor and to create the world that has created that flavor in that moment. And this piece, Ave Maria, usually serves as the backdrop or the container, the framework for that experience. And yeah, people, you know, often are completely in tears because it's the first time they really actually have that depth of relationship to their food or to the moment.
And you think that the song helps bridge that? Like listening to the music is creating a connection between the taster and the food that wouldn't have been there without the music?
It seems to work for many people. Yeah, I do think, you know, people say beauty or taste is subjective. I don't agree with that. I think we all relate when it comes to love on a certain level that even if you have never listened to classical music, if you are able to stop and feel safe in that moment and you hear that kind of beauty through Cecilia Bartoli singing Ave Maria, it will move you. I do believe we are all, in one way, we are all the same.
Well, because I was leading that with you, because when we were all leading that seminar, one of the things that I noticed on people's faces is that for some people, they instantly went there when they closed their eyes and they started listening. Other people, it was almost like there was an uncomfortable
struggle.
Look on their face.
Yes.
Yes, they were going. It was like they were moving from one place to the other. And then after the song, and we let them be with that for a moment, having them then start tasting foods, it was almost like
yes.
They were more present to
beautiful.
The moment mm-hmm. because they had taken that 3 minutes or 5 minutes of listening to that song and come to a place other than where they were before in their day.
Yes, mm-hmm. When it comes to love, we won't let them get away. We will dive more into the topic of music and the healing power. But first, of course, here's the weekly update of the world of produce. Mark Mulcahy, our very own, with What's in Season.
Yeah, and What's in Season is carrots. And we have Earl Herrick, the voice of the produce market, on the line from Earl's Organic Produce. Earl, what's going on today?
Well, you you said it, Mark. You know, walk in the San Francisco market, there are carrots all over the veg houses down here. There's bags for juicing. There's cello packs. There's different colors, and there's cartons of carrots with beautiful long greens. And these are my favorite. I think that they're just sweeter to me, and the sweetness is really a combination of all the normal key factors that go into all the fruits and vegetables, which are, you know, variety, weather, soil, and how you water them. Well, right now, with the moderate weather that we're getting, it's not a lot of rain, and it's not super, super dry, though it is dry for us. But in those growing areas, of course, they irrigate. It produces a perfect environment for this wonderful sweet carrot. Now, the way they do the carrot is they choose the variety first, and the variety that I like in the bunch carrot is called a Nante. Now, the weather that you need for a great carrot is, like I was just saying, moderate, not too hot, so the sandy soil, the loamy soil, doesn't dry out.
So how do you go to the market, and how would you know the difference between one carrot, one bunched carrot, or the other bunch carrot?
You want to try some. So you can either snap off the entire carrot, ask one of your produce people, but make sure you try a carrot.
So, Earl, how do we know? You said a Nante carrot is your favorite. So
yeah.
If I'm going into the market, how am I going to know? I mean, I see really long, slender ones. I see
right.
some that are kind of knobby, more finger-shaped.
Or
I
like
see,
blue, right? They're all colored, different colors.
Yes, you might see blue if you're wearing your sunglasses, or purple, or red, or yellow.
Yeah.
Now, in Germany, I'm sure they might have
blue-ish,
a lot of blue.
Bluish-purple.
I mean. Thank you for that.
But that's a great question. Earl, how do you know? The varieties are usually not named there.
Well, you know, the fact is, you're not going to know. There are certain characteristics of certain varieties, and there are going to be very, very few produce people that are going to know varieties. I think it's probably less important to know the variety, and it's more important to taste the carrot that's there. Now, my experience is, the thicker the carrot, it's going to be better. It's going to have a little more texture to it, and if it's grown right, the only way you know if it's grown right is to eat it. But the thinner carrot, I think it's a little more at risk. It's easier to get dry and woody. So to try to give you a better complete answer, you want to get a little thicker carrot. It doesn't have to be super, super long and super tapered. It can come to kind of a blunt end.
And either way, always try what's offered, right? And it's totally fine to ask the produce manager to get a sample, I hear.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And if he doesn't give you one, put it in the suggestion box. Give me a new produce guy.
well,
that's great.
Well, that's great, Earl. Thank you so much, and I appreciate all the info on carrots. And we'll look forward to talking to you next week.
All right.
Thanks, Earl.
Thanks, Earl.
Carrots is it. Carrots are up.
Yeah, and so if you care at all about what you're buying, you can get. You should go in there, and you should buy the ones with the brightest color. Because the brighter the color, the sweeter the carrot, and the darker orange means it has more beta carotene, which Sita will talk about in a little bit. You want to make sure, as Earl said, that the tops are bright green and don't have any brownish in the greens there. So you want to make sure your greens are perky. And cut your greens off. If you buy a bunch of carrots, cut them off before putting them in the refrigerator, because the greens will continue to take nutrients and moisture from the carrot. And when you're storing your carrots, you can put them in a bag or a sealed container, and they'll keep up to about 10 days. But you want to make sure you don't put them in the same drawer as any fruit, because the ethylene gas from the fruit will make your carrots turn bitter. So if you don't want bitter carrots, make sure you don't put them with fruit. Also, sometimes you'll notice that they have kind of a white bloom on the outside. They start turning a little bit white on the outside. That's because they're starting to dehydrate. And all you have to do is put your carrots in ice water for 10 minutes, and they'll get back to their bright orange color. So there's a good tip there. You want to make sure you always wash them before you use them. And a lot of people peel their carrots. Peeling is optional. You can decide that a lot of the nutrients are in the peel, but how you find out where the bitterness is it usually is in the peel. If it's going to be bitter, it will be in the peel. So that would be one time that you would want to peel them. So that's what's in season. That's carrots. And I'll look forward to those blue ones when I go to the store next.
Next time you're in Germany.
Thank you, Mark. That was Mark Mulcahy with the weekly update from the produce market, and Earl Herrick, what's in season. You're listening to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helge Hellberg.
I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm Sitarani Palomar.
Today's topic is the healing power of music. In the first half of the hour, we heard about the healing at the speed of sound, a book written by Alex Doman and Don Campbell, who also wrote The Mozart Effect, on what music does, how early it is received, actually, all the way into the womb, how any sound is received, for that matter, all the way into the womb, from commercials to beautiful music, whatever we are exposed to, we manifest in that company of notes. With us now, joining from California, is Gary Malkin, composer, producer, the founder of Wisdom of the World, and a renowned public speaker on this topic, on music and what music does. Gary, are you with us?
I am. Yes, great to be here, Helga.
We are. I love that.
The royal we, of course.
Yes, the royal we. Gary, we are talking about the healing power of music, something in the way we are moved today. We heard from from Alex Doman in the first half about the healing power of music, how it is used literally to heal people with depression, how early it is received all the way into the womb. It has been your world for many, many years as well. And what really stuck out for us was the creation of grateful passages that you've worked on. Tell us about your world of music and what Grateful Passages is about.
Well, first of all, it's great for Graceful Passages with a C-E rather than a T. But ironically, Graceful Passages, the primary result that Graceful Passages was intended for was to create a state of radical gratitude for life's preciousness. And ironically, the most effective way to go there is to have an experience directly of our impermanence. You know, the moment that you hear about somebody's sick with a life-threatening illness or someone that died, we're always so grateful that we're still here, 6 feet above. So this work uses the power of music and very coherent and dropped-in messages from source, deep, powerful messages of wisdom from people like Thich Nhat Hanh and Ram Dass and Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, offering comments of compassion and mindfulness to really kind of ask you the question, are you living fully right now, recognizing that this moment is not a rehearsal, that it's for real? And it actually is known as the iconic work to support people non-pharmacologically to accept the end-of-life process, either hypothetically, metaphorically, or literally. So that is what we created as a music-infused resource to get people in touch with life's impermanence and its preciousness. That's what that work is all about.
How did you receive that? How did you come up with the idea?
Well, first of all, thank you guys for having the whole subject of music on the Organic Conversation, because my life's work really is dedicated to really helping to recognize that music is the last unregulated drug, and that the music and the media that we ingest has a direct effect on who we are, how we relate to ourselves and each other. And it's the ultimate, in my view, organic conversation. So kudos to you guys for recognizing that the music that we listen to, whether it's supporting television advertising or video games, or literally outright on the radio or on your CD, has a direct impact on the choices we make in our lives. So thank you, kindred spirits.
Yes, and on our choices and on our health. And actually, we would love to play a short piece from Graceful Passages, even though may it be a grateful passage then as well, what you created. Gary, stay on the phone. We need to honor our underwriters for just 1 minute, and we'll be right back with you. You're listening to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helge Hellberg.
I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm Sitarani Palomar.
And the topic today is the healing power of music. With us is Gary Malkin, composer, producer, public speaker, and the founder of Wisdom of the World. And that's wisdomoftheworld.com. We'll be right back with more.
Fry Vineyards is America's first organic winery, family-owned and operated since 1980. Dedicated to the highest levels of organic and biodynamic farming, Fry never adds synthetic sulfites or other preservatives to their wines. Fry organic and biodynamic wines include delicious Cabernet Sauvignon, Zinfandel, Syrah, Chardonnay, and Sauvignon Blanc. Fry Vineyards Mendocino County award-winning wines without added sulfites. Available at grocery stores and online at frywine.com. That's FREYWINE.com.
Produce is ever-changing, seasons coming and going. At Earls Organic, we have been sourcing solely organic produce for over 20 years. Since 1988, Earls Organic Produce has been establishing strong relationships with growers and developing a deep understanding of the seasons, so you can offer the most delicious organic produce to your customers, staff, and clients year-round. For organic produce, visit Earls Organic Produce at earlsorganic.com. That's earlsorganic.com.
There is nothing more restorative than garden fresh food cooked with skill and served with love. Bowman College has been promoting well-being for more than 20 years by teaching people to cook and eat for health. Launch your career as a nutrition consultant or natural chef and learn to nourish yourself and your loved ones. I'm Ed Bowman, founder and president of Bowman College, Holistic Nutrition and Culinary Arts. Check us out at bowmancollege.org. That's B-A-U-M-A-N, college.org.
Trace, the new signature restaurant at the W San Francisco, is committed to creating an enriching and thoughtful culinary experience. By fusing the vibrant local personality of the Bay Area with a dedication to socially responsible food, Trace ensures all the ingredients are traceable back to their natural origins, locally sourced and sustainable. For reservations, visit trace-sf.com, T-R-A-C-E-S-F.com, or call 415-817-7836.
Do you feel run down, stressed, overweight, or overloaded? Urban Remedy is a delicious 100% organic juice cleansing program designed to jumpstart your body's natural healing and cleansing abilities. This delicious juice feast, created by leading acupuncturist Nika Pasquale, is rich in vital nutrients, minerals, and enzymes, providing you with all the nutritional nourishment you need to thrive. Delivered directly to your doorstep. Urban Remedy, a convenient way to boost your energy and balance your body. Place your order today at urbanremedy.com. That's urbanremedy.com.
And we are back here to an organic conversation. I'm Helge Hellberg.
I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm Sita Rani Palomar.
Today's topic is the healing power of music, something in the way we're moved. And we're going back to the interview with Gary Malcolm, with us today, composer, producer, public speaker, and the founder of Wisdom of the World, and within that, the creator of great graceful passages, and that's wisdomoftheworld.com. But before we start with the interview, Mark, you picked the piece before the ad break, La Mamma Morta.
Yeah, I remember I was sitting in the theater in the 80s watching the movie Philadelphia, and Tom Hanks is explaining to Denzel Washington's character. He asked him, do you listen to opera? And he starts describing what this song is about. And Maria Callas comes on. First, that violin that we heard during that break comes on, and then Maria Callas starts singing. And I just closed my eyes, and I missed the rest of the scene. It transformed me in that moment in the theater with a full theater around me. I had to close my eyes and listen to this. And from that day forward, that song, I can put that song on, and I'll even pull over the car and close my eyes just to listen to it because it's just that moving to me.
Yes, beautiful scene, beautiful piece, and also the way Tom Hanks plays out that character in that moment is spectacular, like so moving and beautiful. Philadelphia, great movie to pull out again if you haven't seen it in many, many years, as I hadn't, in preparation for this show. Thank you, Mark, for sharing that. With us again, Gary Malcolm, the founder of Wisdom of the World and Graceful Passages, a variety of music, as it was explained by Gary before the break, to create radical gratitude. Gary, are you still with us?
Yes, I am. Great to be here.
We want to play a piece for just a moment off Graceful Passages. And you explained before radical gratitude to really come to that place of awareness to realize that this is not a rehearsal. This is life right now, lived in this body, in this constellation. So your work, even though it is used in the transformation between life and death, and we'll talk about that right after the piece, we do want to play it with that observation in mind. Here's a piece from Graceful Passages.
No one has ever prepared us for this experience. We think it's the end. No. It's another beginning. Another beginning. It's knowing that you loved. Knowing that you loved. It's not easy letting yourself be loved. Of course, we've learned to judge ourselves. We're always judging ourselves. But I learned to listen that I was loved. I was loved. And then I would forget that I was loved. Those were the most painful times for me.
Gary.
Yeah.
We asked you before the break how you received this work, this body of work. What inspired you? How did you possibly come up with this?
Well, I've been playing the piano since 5 years old, and I grew up in New York in a dysfunctional, loving family, but needed space for myself. And I learned that there was nothing like music to part the seas and drop you into a state of presence. And I learned that at a very young age. And when I used to play the piano when people were fighting in the house, I noticed in my young mind that people stopped fighting. I ended up going on to a big career as a film and television composer and then crashed with a horrible accident. And even though I didn't die in 1998, everything that was mine was taken away except for my daughter. And I realized that everything I had identified with, my ego identified with, had been taken away. And so I realized that this experience of dying, although it didn't feel like a gift, there were many people that are just completely caught unawares. And I thought, could we create a soundtrack to the moment of actually reckoning with having it all gone, that actually could awaken us to more compassion, more mindfulness, and really a state of what the HeartMath Institute calls coherence, a state of that remembrance of who you are and what matters most. And so basically, like a lot of people, my own crash made me aware of how impermanent everything was. And so I spent the next 3 years working on this book and CD set that changed my life, really, and helped me cultivate a whole new genre that I call innertainment, innertainment, rather than entertainment, and really helped me launch Wisdom of the World. That's all of what Wisdom of the World is about, is creating music and media to develop a state of coherence that will enable us to make organic decisions that will help the world and ourselves.
Gary, and how have you seen music then as a result of this work help people? Can you give us some examples?
Oh, my God. Well, the simplest way is that I actually, in my talks, I actually demonstrate what it's like when you put subliminal music on for your atmospheric support. And if you create a right environment subliminally, you can actually enhance the quality of compassion and, if you will, more holistic engagement, ways to talk to one another that actually keep you more in touch with your higher self, the part of you that wants to, that doesn't regret the way you've acted, right? So you can actually influence subliminally the way you talk to people just by putting it on in the background in the right way. Rather than just plenty old music, you can actually choose music to actually enhance and define the character of the conversation. So that's very simple. We have a work that also created a way for parents and newborns to deepen the response. You know, you talked about Alex Doman talking about Even in the Womb, and the work of Bruce Lipton. He defined that the baby in the womb and outside the womb is deeply affected. Mm-hmm. And so we created a book called Safe in the Arms of Love, safeinthearms.com. And it's a book and CD set that's designed to bring people into that state of inspiration and wholeness and connection that the baby will benefit from. And I mean, the list is endless how you can use music specifically for whatever either transition you're going through or event you're at to design and a result that you want everybody to have. Music can have a phenomenal role.
So, and Gary, so you were talking about newborns, but you also do work with transitions from this life. And tell us a little bit about that work.
Are you talking about the transitions, the end of life transitions, that graceful?
Yeah, graceful passages. Yeah. Has helped many, many people. What's your experience with that? How has it helped?
So basically, over 500,000 people around the world have experienced graceful passages in changing. You know, the thing about facing an illness is that what they've proven is, covertly, your immune system is challenged by the amount of fear you're carrying and not owning. So number one, if you're facing a cancer diagnosis, you have to get it through the trauma of the fact that you're going through this. But invariably, you can use graceful as a tool to declaw the numbing fear, because you don't want to be in fear when you want your immune system to work optimally. So graceful is used as a tool just to come to presence with, okay, I don't know how this outcome will come. I don't know what the outcome of this illness will be, but I want to be at peace with any outcome. And this graceful is used for cancer patients around the world on this. But then let's say you have a loved one who is actually facing an end-of-life process. You can use graceful passages, even just one track, and you say, could I listen to this with you or with the person that's taking care of a loved one? And honestly, in 6 minutes, you can transform the fear or begin to transform the fear that interferes in your capacity to be a loving, compassionate support for somebody going through a difficult time. And graceful has been used for hundreds of thousands of people to help come to a place of equanimity, of compassion, and presence during what I think is the most, what Ron Dass calls the most important moment in our life, the moment when we face our dying.
We are talking with Gary Malkin, composer, producer, the founder of Wisdom of the World, and a great public speaker, obviously. Wisdomoftheworld.com. On today's show, you're listening to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helge Hellberg.
I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm Sita Rani Palomar.
Today's topic is music and how music can transform our reality, which is really what you're saying, Gary, right? You're saying that if you have the right backdrop or framework or sound vibration around you and within you, that actually physically changes your reality of how you experience life.
I do, yeah. And, you know, there's the other thing going on, you guys, which is what I call one of the greatest illnesses of our time is what I call awareness fragmentation disorder. And we're all like that frog being boiled slowly to death in that incremental pot that people talk about in the metaphor. And if we don't cultivate our ability to listen more carefully, we're going to lose our ability to be in the present moment. And there is nothing like music intentionally designed to drop you in, to bring you into a place of coherence and connection to that present moment. And I think these times, it's the medicine for our times for dealing with this multitasking that everybody's doing these days. You know what I mean?
Yes, and just to explain the frog story, maybe everyone knows it, but it was new to me just a few years ago. If you put a frog in hot water, he or she will jump out. If you put a frog in cold water, and then turn up the heat and it starts boiling, that frog will most likely die because it doesn't recognize the gradual desensitization to the heat around it.
Beautifully said. That was great, Alvin.
Thank you, Gary.
I like what you were saying too, Gary, about how music makes us so present and that it really is about listening. So if we can learn to be more present with music, what a translation that will be when we learn to be more present with speaking to other people and being able to hear what's actually being communicated to us.
It's exactly true. You know, 24 weeks in utero, the first sense to come into a human being is listening. And
incredible.
It's been proven that the last sense to go before we die is listening. And to me, that's a major sign from the universe that says that vibration and listening and music is central to our relationship to the core of ourselves. So, I think it's a very, very essential part of who we are.
Yes, Gary, your work can be followed at wisdomoftheworld.com. Is that the best way to find you?
Yeah. And also, I just did the score to a film called Thrive, What on Earth Can It Take? Will It Take? And we're doing an inner game of thriving teleseminar starting February 29th. And that information is on wisdomoftheworld.com as well. We have Lynn Twist and Kimberly Gamble and Elizabeth Sartoris, the evolutionary biologist. We have a lot of cool people that are going to be on our telegathering. So you'll learn more about that on the website.
Fantastic. Wisdomoftheworld.com. Gary Malcolm. Thank you, Gary, for taking the time to talk about this super important topic of the world of vibration and music.
You're welcome. And by the way, it's Malcolm with an N at the end, not an M.
Yes, Malcolm. Oh, that's just my bad pronunciation. Everyone knows that. Gary Malcolm. Yes. Thank you. Thanks, Gary.
Thank you.
Wonderful work.
You guys. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk about this.
Oh,
our
it's
pleasure.
Great having you.
Thank you,
Gary.
Thank you. Thanks. Yes, The Sound of Music. What's the last
the
song we will be playing?
The last song is Take Me Home by Phil Collins, a personal favorite of mine.
Why?
Being a musician, I love the richness and depth of so many different moving parts that come together seamlessly and create something that's greater than the sum of its parts, right? And this song with the various instruments and tempos and the choral voices, it's such a huge impact on me. I've always wanted to hear the song a cappella too, being an a cappella person. So,
and we would love to, for you, our listeners, to share what you love the most, any song that moved you and why, if you feel so inclined to share on our Facebook page. That's An Organic Conversation. That's facebook.com/anorganicconversation. Share your favorite song and why, a little story as an inspiration for all of us. And we did get a wonderful little comment about our blog, Mark. Somebody from Mexico City asked if she could share a blog that we posted in her yoga class. And yes, absolutely. All of our blogs, please share and get the word out and tell people about this show. Share at anorganicconversation.com for all your comments and questions.
And that was this week's edition of An Organic Conversation. Thanks for listening.
An Organic Conversation is a production of the Organic Media Network. Associate producer is Kristen Ponger. Studio engineer, Robert Costa. Production assistant, Lauren Mulcahy.
If you missed parts of this show or for any other episode, visit iTunes or anorganicconversation.com.
We're your hosts, Helge Hellberg.
Mark Mulcahy.
And Sitarani Palomar.
And we'll be back right here, same place, same time next week. See you then.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.